The winner is Cam Newton of Auburn University.
Second down and three. Newton to the end zone. Funchess, touchdown.
9 yards for a first down, 11 for a touchdown. Newton, end zone, touchdown. Greg Olsen.
Newton, end zone, alone again. Touchdown, Funchess.
Cam Newton may go. He's ahead of the field, and they run him down inside the 20-yard line. Cordre Tankersley saved the touchdown.
Cameron Jarrell Newton. Who are you?
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Yeah, let's go Las Vegas here on a Wednesday. It is time for the Mac Attack here on 920 The Game. I am Ryan McKinnell, joined by Chris Magnum Chapman across the way on the ones and twos. Got Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation coming up here in about a half an hour because, well, we want to check in with our friends. We want to make sure everyone is doing okay during this lockdown, this quarantine because of COVID-19. Magnum, I can tell you one thing. I'm not too worried about myself, but I also need to start looking outside the box. Like, I can't really be the judge of how I am. I think it needs to be, like, the people around me. But what I will say is I'm pretty sure this is the third day in a row I've worn these camo shorts. So I have to look at, like, the not such direct. Like, I have to be fair with myself. Like, Ryan, this is now the third day in a row you've wore the same pants. Flip side, I don't know how uncommon that is for me. So I'm really trying to like go back. I'm really like a good Buddhist monk. I'm sitting here just asking myself over and over again, who am I?
Yeah.
Who am I? Who am I? And I don't know. Like, was I always the guy who wore the same pants for 3 days in a row, or am I just noticing it now because it's quarantine and I'm all self-conscious about my mental health? I am. Like, because everyone, like, you know, you've been talking about your anxiety, not being able to sleep at different points. I'm sleeping like a baby. Like, I'm good. And it's not because we have jobs. It's nothing like that. It's more like I'm terrified that maybe I was built for quarantine life.
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny you bring up the pants thing because I oftentimes sit and wonder when I'm getting dressed in the morning, if I wear the same shorts or same pants that I did yesterday, would anybody really notice?
Well, not today. Not this week. Not this month.
And the reality is, I honestly had zero clue that you wore the same shorts 3 days in a row.
I think that kind
of— I don't even know what you wore. Like, I never would
have— You know what? And is that not the perfect answer to the question you've been asking? Because, listen, it's a pretty— like, it's camo shorts. It's not like blue jeans where—
Or you could wear them 4 or 5 days in a row and no one's going to know.
Well, you can, but what I'm saying is it's like a distinct print. So that's where I'm getting at with that. Like blue jeans, I mean, you can essentially do whatever to them. You're never going to know if they're clean or dirty because they're blue jeans. But like, I feel like camouflage stands out. And the fact that you didn't recognize that this is now the third day in a row I've wore these pants, it probably bodes well for your theory that, yeah, I don't think people really do notice. So slum it up, Vegas. Do your best. Nobody notices anyway, even when you are actually going to work and being seen by everybody. I hope everybody out there is, remaining happy given the circumstances. I'm certainly glad to be on the air with you and bringing you this show. You heard it there in the open. Cam Newton released by the Carolina Panthers, which begs the question, where does Cam go? What does that mean for Jameis Winston, former quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Not so much anymore with the arrival of Tom Brady. But it is an interesting time right now in the NFL, Magnum, because it's just like a lot of unknown. I got to be honest. I'm really surprised Jameis Winston hasn't found a place yet.
Well, I think maybe some teams are waiting to see where the chips fall with the draft.
Yeah.
I can't figure out why a guy with the talent that Jameis Winston has would not have been picked up.
Well, it's a mental thing, right? Well, it's potentially a character thing, but it's the lapses in judgment and the 30,000 interceptions.
Yeah, but maybe on the flip side of that, you could always look and say, well, he never really had— – I mean, he only had one season with Bruce Arians, and it was his worst season. But before Bruce Arians, who was Dirk Cotter his coach? I mean, you could look and say, well, he never really had a good coach.
I agree, yeah. You could absolutely play that card.
There's guys who you say, you know what, this guy's got talent, and maybe— – because coaches have egos— – and there's got to be coaches out there saying, man, I wish I had the capability to sign him because he's got all the talent in the world.
And I know what I can do
with
him. And
I know how to make him better.
Yeah.
Now, the other question is, how much money is Jameis Winston asking for? Because if he's asking for starter money, which my guess is he probably is as a former number one overall pick, he's probably not going to get that.
No, he's probably not. And
the Patriots probably feel better with Jared Stidham as their quarterback going, and they just Brian Hoyer.
Yeah.
Than they do with giving Cam or Jameis Winston $25 million a year over the next three seasons.
Former Tampa Bay Buccaneer tight end Anthony Beck was on Cofield and Company yesterday.
Former New York Jet tight end as well.
That's right. Was on Cofield and Company yesterday with the boys.
He's part of a trivia question.
What's that?
He is a guy who was drafted in the first round by the New York Jets. The New York Jets were the only team in NFL history to have four first-round draft picks that year. So Anthony Beck was one of those four first-round draft picks.
All right, there you go.
Also drafted Chad Pennington. I think Sean Ellis and Jonathan Abraham, I believe, were the other two.
Jonathan Abraham?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All pretty good players for the New York Jets. I could be mistaken on the four, but I'm pretty sure it was Sean Ellis.
Four first-round picks and no Super Bowls to show for it. Not like Magnum, world-renowned New York Jets fan.
I do believe if Chad
like
Pennington did not have the injury problems, I feel like the Jets would have won a Super Bowl with him as quarterback.
He was a really good quarterback. And back to that former first-round pick, Anthony Beck, and former Tampa Bay tight end. He was on with Cofield and Company yesterday, and he essentially said that he doesn't even think Jameis is going to get a chance to start next year. Now, that I don't believe. I'm with you. I think a lot of this revolves around the fact that let's see what happens with the draft, Miami, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's other organizations out there that I think are wondering exactly what's going to happen. And I'm still – listen, I know the Bears got Nick Foles. And I know they got Mitch Trubisky. I don't know. They're not going to carry three quarterbacks. But
no, and there's a lot of other places you could look at and say, all right, not going to happen.
I got to be honest, though. I am sad as a Bears fan. I would have rather had taken a chance on Cam Newton or Jameis Winston than with Nick Foles. I just think there's more upside.
Absolutely.
I think with all three, you're taking a chance, right? There's varying degrees, whether you're the rolling the dice 50%. I don't know. I don't know the numbers that I want to use, right?
Well,
but there's certainly a risk there when you take any one of those. I would just rather take the risk with someone who's capable of potentially putting up 4,500 yards. Now, again, there's a lot of questions there surrounding that, but with Jameis, you take a question to his mental stability and his decision making, and with Cam, you take a question with his health, and with Foles, you take a question with his consistency. It's just, what do you want to lay, I guess, your future on? So a lot of teams out there are going to be needing to make a decision. Speaking of Steve Cofield and Cofield and Company, you know what today is for Cofield?
I know. I know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, the big one.
It's his birthday.
Yeah, but it's the big one.
50?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. So happy 50th birthday to our dear leader over on ESPN Las Vegas, the voice of Vegas sports, Steve Cofield.
What a way to spend it.
Mr. Sunshine, quarantine. Yeah. You know what? Don't think Steve minds.
No.
I mean, he likes to go out and, throw a couple back. Like, I'm convinced that Steve's Yelp process is like 2.5 stars and under. Like that, with most people, you have like a limit. Like, I don't go anything under 3.5 stars.
Yeah.
I don't think Steve goes anything over 2.5.
Really?
Yeah, no, I think he hates people. Like, I think he just wants to. He wants to assure himself that, like, the worse the establishment, the more he'll be left alone.
I think that's a fair point.
So now, honestly, COVID-19 could have just been created just for Steve Cofield's 50th birthday.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there.
Yeah. Bioweapon, all that
right,
stuff.
Right, bioweapon. It's China created it. Yeah. No. I think Cofield created this just so he could stay inside for his 50th birthday.
Yeah, see, my birthday is now less than 2 months, the 41st birthday for me. And quite honestly, I'm hoping that by the time May 22nd rolls around, we're starting to see the decline of this thing.
That'd be nice.
You know, I mean,
we got Memorial Day.
Yeah, I mean, like I my buddy from Salt Lake called me this morning, and he was supposed to come down in a few weeks, and he's like, obviously, I'm not coming. I'm like, hey, you know what? Maybe by Memorial Day, because he always throws a big bash for Memorial Day where he makes this unbelievable brisket, and I'm up in Salt Lake, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe by the time Memorial Day rolls around, I'll actually be able to take a trip up to Salt Lake.
That'd be great.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed that by the time my birthday rolls around, we've seen the worst of this.
Well, the key is, Magnum, is we have to get ahead of it, and we have to listen to medical professionals, and then that's the key. We have to stay indoors mostly, and we have to avoid contact because we don't want this thing to spread. And if we go back, to work, say, around Easter, we will risk, and not just risk, we will undo all of the work that we've spent, at least for us in Vegas, a week and a half, 2 weeks, however long you've been self-quarantining. We would essentially eliminate all that work, and we would have to start from scratch.
No idea just how severe the lockdown was in Italy. Like, I knew they were on quarantine for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, no, it's no leaving.
But like,
you can't leave your yard.
Yeah, you can go in your yard.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Like,
grocery
for me,
store yard, and you have to carry papers with you.
Yeah.
Which we have to carry papers to do the show from here.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is great. Thank you, because, listen, am I a big fan? Oh, I was gonna well, I already said it. Listen, I am not the biggest fan of authority, right? So, like,
There was a Pennywise song.
Yeah, yeah, yes, exactly, exactly. And
use
and,
your imagination.
You know, I support the police and our military as much as I can. But I also fully recognize, even if I have contentious relationships or thoughts at times about police or authority figures, I fully also recognize that they exist for a reason.
Yeah.
And that reason is humans are relatively impulsive, selfish, and not always adept at making the best decisions, right? Whether it be speeding or drunk driving, or in this case, staying your ass home during a quarantine. I do have to give a huge tip of the cap to our law enforcement, our first responders, and especially the medical professionals that are on the front lines of this. I know you guys are out there. You're looking for supplies. You're looking for masks. If anyone out there can donate, there are ways for you to do that. I highly encourage it because, again, we haven't seen the worst of this yet. You guys know, 14-day incubation period. We don't have the testing that we need, thankfully. We're getting more of it.
Yeah, but I saw UNLV was going to start drive-through testing.
Right, but as we get more of it, which is what is happening now over the last week, not coincidentally, the numbers are spiking and going through the roof. And yeah, still, there are plenty of people that can't get tested. Our friend, Associated Press writer Willie G. Ramirez, he's been on this show before. I think the last time we had Juan was Summer League. He's on Twitter right now. He has coronavirus. Like, he's talking about it. He's talking about the death he's feeling in his chest, the hacking, the coughing, the fire, the pain. It's horrible. I can almost guarantee it's corona. He can't get tested, and he's on a bit of a warpath right now on Twitter. He's like tweeting the president. He's like, "Yo, why are you saying people are getting tested when I can't get tested?" He can't get tested. My producer Kelly at Sirius, she's got coronavirus in New York. She can't get tested. I know two other people that most likely have it, and they can't get tested. So that is a big issue. As we see testing ramping up, right, you're going to see more people testing. So it is up to us, locally, nationally, worldwide, to do our part to stay indoors. Yes, and to also, again, donate where you can. Speaking of donating where you can, UFC fighter Conor McGregor donating 1 million euros to, quote, personal protective equipment to hospitals combating the coronavirus in Ireland's Leinster region, which apparently is the most hard hit region of Ireland for the COVID-19 virus. And again, Conor McGregor donating 1 million to help that fight with the money going to protective equipment. And yesterday, Conor made a great viral video, about a 4-minute video, to the leaders and the president and the decision makers and the lawmakers in Ireland, stressing the seriousness of COVID-19 and how he essentially it was a pep talk. It was like run through a wall. You know what I mean? Like, it was a really, really nice and focused video that I think brought levity and I don't know, adulthood to the situation. Like, we need adults in the room and people to step up and to say what needs to be said. I'm glad he did that. And then again, I mean, come on, donating the million. I mean, that's
huge.
Awesome.
It's kind of the opposite approach of his boss.
Well, that is an entirely different story, and you're absolutely right. His boss, Dana White, and it is. I say you need adults in the room, and it's so true, because especially in the sport of mixed martial arts, we've been kind of chronicling Dana White and his indignation towards the coronavirus, saying a couple weeks ago after the UFC had a pay-per-view here, UFC 248 at T-Mobile Arena, infamously saying, "I don't give a blank about coronavirus." He now said earlier this week that UFC 249 scheduled for the middle of April in New York City. Obviously, that is not going to happen, but in New York, it's not going to happen. But Dana is hell-bent on having this fight taking place. He said it's a 99% certainty. Yesterday, in an interview with Yahoo Sports' Kevin Ioli, in a live Instagram video chat, Instagram live video, He essentially said the fight's going to happen. It's going to be with a closed audience, and he has a venue where it's going to happen, but he didn't want to test, or excuse me, he doesn't want to let anybody know, because as he said about the venue and also about when asked if athletes, fighters on the card would be tested, he would not say whether the promotion, will have attendees tested for coronavirus, saying, quote, "the less the media knows, the better off it is."
This is a really, really bad look for the UFC.
Yeah. For sports, for the sport of mixed martial arts, for the fans of MMA, for anybody, when the whole world and the whole sports world magnum is shutting down and everyone is taking this deadly serious, including us here in the United States, where we are about to become the epicenter of this virus, guaranteed.
Yeah.
It's not even a question.
Oh, and by the end of the month, we will have
by the end of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, most likely.
It just depends on
how many tests we get. If we get more tests, then we're going to have more cases because they're here. But yes, as the whole world is hunkering down and being deadly serious about this, he's coming out and saying, "I don't know if we're going to test." And listen, it's not your job to know anyway. The less the media knows, the better. Are you high? Listen, I know there's a war on the media right now. All right. But even a lot of it is from the top down and brought upon by the president, Donald Trump, and his fake news attacks. And listen, even if you are a supporter of Donald Trump and you know, that's whatever at this point, it's the fact of the matter. We're all Americans, and some of us voted for Donald Trump. I hope you would acknowledge that he's dangerous at different points, and you wouldn't trust him for medical advice, right?
Yeah.
If you didn't have the media over the last 3 months, Magnum, I knew about coronavirus in December, early January. How do I know that? Because I was making jokes about it on this show. Bad look in hindsight.
Yeah.
Right? Probably shouldn't have. Probably should have been a little bit more careful, but at the same time, I'm not, you know, it's whatever. A lot of people made a mistake.
You owned it, though.
You hopefully don't make the same mistake twice. That's when I would be a real prick.
Well, yeah, I knew about it.
Right.
You know, obviously, because I traveled to that part of the world.
We knew about it. Yeah, you came back from Japan, and I was making jokes about it.
Yeah.
I wrapped some toilet paper around my face, trying to use it as a makeshift mask. My point is we knew about this, right? And we knew about it because of the media. If we didn't have that, the only person you would have to go off of is state-sponsored messaging from the host of The Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah.
Now, that is dangerous. Even if you support Donald Trump, I hope you understand how dangerous that is. And the rhetoric of the media is bad, they lie, they're fake. And now Dana White saying the less the media knows, the better off it is. Yeah, that's dumb.
Yeah, it's a really, really bad look.
It's a bad look, and it's dangerous, but it's not as dumb and as dangerous as some of the things he later said. And this is, it's kind of shocking because, listen, Dana White has never been known for
tact,
holding his tongue, you know, even saying he's overrun his headlights a few times and said things he shouldn't have. Hey, listen, I get it. I'm in the same boat. But in a world and a career full of stupid, at different points, Dana really, really, really set himself up with this one. In that same chat with Kevin Ioli from Yahoo Sports, I can't believe I'm about to read this quote. Dana had this to say about the coronavirus. Quote, "Whether you're a coronavirus expert or not, it's like hiding from cancer. You can't hide from this thing. You can't hide. If you're a high-risk person, this thing's going to get you." I'm going to read that again. "Whether you're a coronavirus expert or not, it's like hiding from cancer. You can't hide from this thing. You can't hide. If you're a high-risk person, this thing's going to get you." It's literally why we have quarantine. You absolutely can self-isolate, self-distance, self-quarantine.
Yeah.
And not get coronavirus, because the only way you can get this thing is from other people and hosts who have it.
Yeah, it's not cancer. It's not like cancer.
Well, also,
cancer doesn't just go from me to another person.
It doesn't? No, I had a buddy in college, Magnum, that went to Penny Pitchers, got very, very drunk, was sharing cups with people. The next day, he got cancer, and he caught it from my buddy. They were sharing cups. Yeah. That happened.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it didn't happen. All that time that, you know, I caught that cancer from that person I slept with on that random Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Those bad decisions I made back at Ball State. No, that didn't happen either.
No, that doesn't.
You can't catch cancer. If we don't have media, that's who we have to listen to, Dana White.
Yeah.
If we don't have media, we have to listen to them screaming fake news. And again, whether you're a coronavirus expert or not, it's like hiding from cancer. You can't hide from this thing. You can't hide. If you're a high-risk person, this thing's going to get you.
And no, that's not true.
It's just not. No, it's not only is it not true.
It's dangerous.
It's so stupid that it almost disqualifies every other word coming out of that person's mouth. Like, if I came on this show saying, like, the Holocaust wasn't real, you would be like, wow, that person is an idiot.
Yes, because we know that happened.
Right, and that person is stupid, and I don't ever want to listen to another word that person has to say. Completely understand.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know which one's worse. I'm not trying to compare, like, which stupid is dumber, like, if I were to say that, or if Dana White is saying that coronavirus is like cancer and you're going to get it and you can't hide from it. Like, you can hide from it and it's nothing like cancer.
Yeah.
I just, damn it. It's just frustrating because, like, why did I spend all this time in school? Like, why did I spend time learning and, like, reading books? Why did I ever?
Well, we know he doesn't like books.
Right. That's what he said. I don't read books. He said that last week as well. We know now why.
Yeah.
Because there's information in those books.
The worst part of all of this is right now, the entire sports world is all in agreement on what we need to do. So he is the lone voice out there saying these stupid, irresponsible, ignorant things.
No, Magnum. In the same interview, he said, we will make sure we take care of everybody like we always do. I'm not giving the public and the media all kinds of information on what I'm doing, but I'm not acting like some crazy rebel out here with the coronavirus. I've done everything I've been able to do. No, that's exactly what you're doing. You're picking a fight with coronavirus, and you're trying to be the first back.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't get an award for that.
No, you don't. In fact, you might get the exact opposite.
Yeah.
You might get the Rona.
At what point do the owners of the UFC muzzle him?
Never. You knew what you were getting when you got Dana
White. So they're totally fine with this.
I didn't say that.
All right.
But you know what you're getting when you get Dana White. Yeah. And this is I don't know if they knew they were getting a guy who said that, you know, cancer, coronavirus is like cancer and you can't hide from it. But hey, you know, every day is a new adventure. Every day is a new adventure. Speaking of talking with the experts, Magnum, we are in a interesting time, so much so that your favorite, Dr. Fauci.
Yeah.
The doc that very much has been at the forefront of coronavirus, Trump's guy.
Yeah.
He's been at a lot of the briefings and spoke at different points. Sometimes he's not at the briefings, and those are usually when those briefings go off the rail and Donald Trump just starts speaking in more lies than normal.
Yeah.
But Fauci is a Trump guy, and he's the doctor in charge of a lot of this response.
From my mother's neighborhood, actually.
Really? Yeah. Coronavirus, he's going to be in a different neighborhood tomorrow, it looks like.
Yeah.
Yes. Tomorrow, March 26th, one day after Steve Cofield's 50th birthday, which is today, Dr. Fauci is going to be joining up with one Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry tweeting out this just about 3 hours ago. Hyped to talk all things COVID-19 with Dr. Fauci of the, he tags whatever, of the NIAID news.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
I think it's National Infectious Diseases or something like
that.
Okay, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for that. This is a conversation for you, so submit some questions with SC, so I guess that's Stephen Curry, Ask Fauci, so hashtag SC Ask Fauci, and join at 10 a.m. Pacific tomorrow, March 26th. Let's get it! That's where we're at, man. Where athletes and entertainers now have to be the conduit, the vessel for information, Magnum. Because is that like the only way that people are going to listen?
Well, I think there's a lot of people who find comfort in his words.
Yeah.
Like I found something.
No, sure. But the fact that he has to, couldn't Dr. Fauci just go to a live stream and do it himself? My point is he needs Steph Curry to help get the word out
I
because
feel like,
that's where we're at.
Well, I feel like Steph Curry brings a lot
Right. No, he does. He boosts the profile. But I'm just saying, that's where we're at as a society, Magnum, where the doctor just can't go out and do his own Instagram Live. He has to go and get the help of one of the best stars in the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, and Steph Curry and his wife have done a lot,
yes,
you know,
they have.
In the city where they're at, in the Bay Area, you know, as far as meals and stuff for people who are really up against it. You know, it seems like Steph is a genuinely really good guy. So I feel like this is probably something where he wanted to spearhead it. You know, he's involved in a lot of stuff behind the scenes. You know, it is. I mean, it's sad that we as a society need a huge NBA superstar to help bring this to the forefront, because there's people still just, I mean, I see a lot of cars on the road on my way here. Obviously a lot less than normal, but there's still a lot of cars I see, and I don't know if all those people are essential. I know Metro is shutting businesses down. They're giving people fines. You know, I watched the news conference with the sheriff this morning, and you know, he said I think they did 7 yesterday.
Good.
For non-essential businesses. So look, this isn't going to get better. I think it was Andrew Yang, who I really liked. I would have voted for him for president. Sure. Unfortunately, he wasn't on the caucus here, so I couldn't caucus for him. But he basically said, look, the economy is not going to get started back up again until we have a grip on this.
And to do that, we have to remain vigilant. We have to.
So it doesn't work if Nevada and California and Oregon and Washington are on lockdown, but Kansas and Oklahoma aren't.
Yep.
If Georgia's still having people go to the beach. I know there were a lot of people on the beach in Southern California. Get off the freaking beach.
Yep. Yep. And making this even more clear.
I don't want to be like Italy where I can't take my dog for a walk.
I'm with you. And that's where we're headed, because people can't listen and people can't follow directions. And another person making that ploy and that plea with the, with the public is Carl Anthony Towns of the Minnesota Timberwolves, taking to social media yesterday and letting the world know that his mom has COVID-19 and she is in a medically induced coma. So this just continues. The husband of Amy Klobuchar, the former presidential candidate, he's got coronavirus and he's in not great shape. It's everywhere, man. It's everywhere. Like we said, we know multiple people who have it. They can't get tested. These are just the facts. Hopefully the facts more and more are being brought to light. Information matters. Facts matter. Science matters. Dr. Fauci teaming up with Stephen Curry tomorrow on Twitter. That'll be hashtag SC Ask Fauci, and that's going to be happening at 10 a.m. tomorrow. All right, let's keep the conversation rolling around the NBA. Is the season going to happen? What's going down in Lakerland? I don't have those answers, but I know someone who does. Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation coming up next.
Here comes LBJ! Look out!
Left wide open, had to kick it out. Picked off. Here's Bradley ahead of the field. Goes to James on the run with the low post. Slammed up.
James controls it. James all the way in for the slam. LeBron James has put the Lakers in front.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell.
Yes, we are back here on the Mac Attack on 920 The Game, and joining us right now, well, you heard it in the highlights. That's all we got now. That's all we got. We got audio highlights, we got video highlights, but we got no real game action. You heard some highlights there from LeBron James, King James of the Los Angeles Lakers. And to talk some Lakers, to talk some NBA, and let's talk some quarantine, got one of our favorites. It's been a little while since we caught up with him. He's senior writer over at LakersNation.com, and he's also the host of the Lakers Nation podcast. He is Trevor Lane. Trevor, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Hanging in there. Doing about as well as I can at this point. But like you said, no basketball right now, no sports, period. I'm going a little stir crazy right now without having any sports to watch at this point.
Well, you know, it's quarantine life. I would imagine there's a lot of streaming you can catch up on. Have you delved into the rabbit hole that is Tiger King on Netflix yet?
No, I haven't gotten into that one yet. been checking out a few different shows, but I've been mostly rewatching a lot of old episodes of like The Office and stuff like that, and that's been keeping me entertained. But I'm sure I'm going to start getting bored with that sooner or later, so maybe that'll be next up on my list.
Yeah, no, I'm also as well watching a lot of Office, the Office Safety one where he gets on the dolly or whatever. That one I just saw yesterday, and I also saw the Survival Man one where Michael goes out in the woods and starts ripping off his pants and trying to make survival kits. And yes, truly, it's like chicken soup for the soul, Trevor.
Exactly. In these troubled times, you need that kind of warm, familiar feeling of The Office.
So exactly.
That's what I've turned to at this point.
Exactly. Well, if you're looking for like a bad acid trip of what America actually is under the underbelly of chaos and insanity, which is great, you know, as we're all here quarantined during a pandemic, I highly recommend Tiger King on Netflix. It is, I'm sure you've seen a lot of posts on social media, especially, obviously, it feels like this is the week of Tiger King. Just do it. Just do it. Just, you got to.
All right. I will put it on tonight.
That's all I got for you. You can check back in a couple weeks and see what Tiger King did to your world. But as we talk about your world, Trevor, obviously a big part of that world is the Los Angeles Lakers and the National Basketball Association. Now, I guess, first of all, what has it been like specifically for Los Angeles? Listen, I know what it's like here in Vegas, not having the nights and everything shut down and being a tourist hub. But the Lakers and that relationship with the city and Trevor also, I'd be remiss if I didn't, you know, kind of bring up the passing of Kobe Bryant. The fact that happened like a month before this all happened, and then the season being potentially canceled. It's just a really, really terrible couple months for Lakers fans.
Absolutely. There have been a lot of fans saying, well, clearly what this means is that Kobe Bryant was the glue that was holding the world together, because it feels like ever since Kobe's passing, everything just continues to do so. It's weird. I think I was earlier and said, it feels like we're living something out of a movie at this point, like a disaster movie or something like that. It's surreal. It's definitely starting to get really weird not having sports at all. You know, I'm rewatching old games. I know a lot of Lakers fans are doing that, but these are strange times that we're living in, and hopefully we can get through it sooner rather than later.
Now, I saw you have I believe it was from your podcast, but I saw a post on Twitter up, and you are the host of the Lakers Nation podcast, but I saw something about potentially the NBA returning in May. What prompted that, and when do you think the NBA will return?
Yeah, so I've been doing little video shorts on YouTube, just breaking the latest news, and Mark Cuban, owner of the Dallas Mavericks, actually said that he thinks that he'd set the over-under as June 1st for when the NBA would return, and he's optimistic. He's taking the under and saying that they'll return mid-May, and that was probably the most positive-sounding news we've heard in the last couple of weeks. We have been hearing, you know, maybe best case would be like mid to late June they come back, so that was fairly significant. I think it's going to take a little while. I think it's going to take a while to get all the players cleared. I mean, at this point, it feels like a foregone conclusion that whenever they do in front of empty arenas, there's going to be no fans in the building.
Right.
But still, you've got to get testing for the referees, for all of the players, for the team personnel. You've got to keep up on that. You've got to figure out all the logistics of traveling around the country, or do you just follow the games from one centralized location? How do you make sure that the players don't pick up anything between games and then spread it, because all it takes is, you know, one other player or team personnel member from forgetting it to shut down the whole league again. So logistically, there are a ton of hoops to jump through. I think Cuban's being a little bit optimistic, saying that it'll come back mid-May, but I sure hope he's right, because Cuban did mention that as a country, we need sports, we need that distraction, we need that from the psychological aspect of it, and he's absolutely right. I think that this would be easier to deal with if we had sports right now.
Well, I don't disagree. One man who's trying to bring sports back, and maybe a little too quickly, and I know you follow MMA a little bit, Trevor, mm-hmm. is UFC president Dana White. Him trying to make this fight happen in April between Tony Ferguson and Khabib Nurmagomedov. They're saying Florida might be a state where this could happen. I don't know, but I don't know if you caught this quote from Dana yesterday in a Instagram live chat with Yahoo's Kevin Ioli. He said, quote, "Whether you're a coronavirus expert or not, it's like hiding from cancer. You can't hide from this thing. You can't hide. If you're a high-risk person, this thing is going to get you." Trevor, like, it's exactly why we're in quarantine. Like, I hear what Mark Cuban's saying. Like, there's an owner of a team, a commissioner, whatever you want to say, a person in power that is, you know, being responsible with their words. Then I hear this from Dana White saying, whether you're a coronavirus expert or not, it's like hiding from cancer. You can't hide from this thing. Like, does Dana White not know that you can't, like, you can't catch cancer? Trevor, like, what world are we living in?
That I hadn't heard that quote. That's just kidding. I mean, look, because the dangerous part here, and you know this, is that the response from people is they're going to say, oh, well, if they're hiding from it, why am I quarantined? Why don't I just go out and do all the I want to do if it's inevitable? And that's the danger. That's, well, you know, you talk about flattening the curve and all that kind of stuff. That kind of message is the exact opposite. So I don't know all of the details of the UFC event that's coming up, if it will be in front of an empty arena not. I would hope.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are some, I mean, out of context and everything, but those sound like some dangerous words there.
Yeah, there's no context, at least for that is concerned. I mean, that's just him talking about coronavirus and his thinking on it. Just listen to science, listen to doctors, listen to smart people. I'm sure Dana's smart in different ways. He's just not a doctor. You can't say stuff like that. He also said he playing the Corona tough guy, as we've heard at different points, saying, and if that's what it's going to get you, it's going to get you. So I've had a great run. If the coronavirus is what's going to get me, let's do it. Bring it. I'm ready, Corona. Come get me. Okay. Well, people who aren't ready, like Carl Anthony Towns' mom, who now has coronavirus and is in a medically induced coma. Yeah, you're in the minority with that one, Dana, as we talk about NBA players, and obviously we're thoughts with Carl Anthony Towns' mother. Trevor, we know that a couple Lakers players tested positive for COVID-19. Did we get any updates on that? The team, I don't think, told anybody who it was. What is the concern level around the Lakers right now?
Yeah, at this point, we still don't know if it is or anything, and I'm getting that question every day. People are asking, do we know who it is? A few players have come out and said, no, it wasn't Dmitri Graham, but he said the same thing because there were some legit concerns because he had pneumonia last year and he has a history of asthma. We're with him about if he caught it, how bad would it be? But he said he doesn't have it either. So we still don't know the identity of the two players. The Lakers have taken the stance, and we've seen a number of teams, the Brooklyn Nets included, that have taken the same stance where they are allowing the players to decide whether or not they want to disclose anything, and they're letting them do that on their own, rather than a team reviewing the right standard of care. You're talking about somebody's medical history. You're talking about something that they can be a little bit controversial and everything. Some players are saying, well, if I go out there and say that I've got it, then it raises the awareness of the problem and all of that. And that's true, but for other players, they feel like they want to keep it themselves. So, and that's certainly within their right. So for right now, we know your players have all been on quarantine. Two of them did test positive, but again, we don't know which ones, and it doesn't sound like the Lakers are in any rush to reveal who it was.
All right, we're with Trevor Lane, senior writer for LakersNation.com. He's also the host of the Lakers Nation podcast. You can find him on Twitter at Trevor_late. All right, Trevor, we're going to end on this. It's not Lakers news, but it is L.A. news. Steve Ballmer, owner of the Clippers yesterday, purchasing the Forum in Los Angeles from MSG for the tune of $400 million. Dude, I remember when $400 million would buy you like 10 NBA teams. Like the fact that what is happening with sports and money and rights fees and land fees, like it is wild. But I would imagine, Trevor, the Clippers owner buying the Forum, a little bit of a hard hit for Lakers fans and for fans of, Los Angeles Lakers.
Well, yeah, I mean, but for me, I grew up during the era of the Showtime Lakers. That was what originally caused me to fall in love with the team, was Magic and Kareem and Worthy, you know, running up and down the floor at the Forum. That was the first game I ever saw. The Great West Sports called up time. But this was the owner of the Clippers, who are presenting themselves as the anti-Lakers and all of these things, suddenly owning the Forum, which is part of Lakers history. But the flip side to it is, well, the Clippers aren't even going to play basketball there. He's just going to use it as a music venue. He's just buying that so that he can build an arena for the Clippers. And so, you know, anything like that. So that there's a section of the Lakers fan base that is excited because it means that the Lakers and the Clippers are no longer sharing an arena. So that means they're no longer getting cut by selfies and all the other shenanigans they've had going on. So for me personally, it's only a bit of a punch to the gut. But I see a lot of Lakers fans who are actually kind of happy about it because it means the Clippers are going to get out of Staples Center sooner rather than later.
Well, there you go. There's a silver lining. There's a silver lining there. Plenty to be happy about. Yeah, listen, Trevor, there's going to be plenty to be happy about after you go and watch Tiger King. I can't wait to hear your response on it. You're a level-headed dude. I feel like you're an intelligent dude. You're a good man. I'm very interested to hear your takeaway from Tiger King. We're gonna check back with you in a couple weeks, see how quarantine life is going, and get your thoughts on what is one of the wildest documentaries you could possibly imagine. Trevor, I really appreciate you giving us a few minutes here on the Mac Attack, given the circumstances. And it was good to talk to you again, buddy.
Hey, you too, man. Thank you so much for having me. And, yeah, I'll definitely have to check that out on Netflix, and then I'll give you a full report.
There you go. There you go. Our now Netflix documentarian reviewer, I don't know, Trevor Lane, LakersNation.com. Thanks, pal.
Hey, thanks a lot.
There you go. That's Trevor Lane. You can find him on Twitter at Trevor_Lane. When we come back, I have some very good news for Magnum, and this is involving his, ever-changing adult entertainment habits. This one's for you, Magnum. We'll be right back here on the Mac Attack.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
All right, we are back. Thanks to Trevor Lane for joining us from LakersNation.com. Magnum, I'm not kidding about that Tiger King documentary. You've got to watch it.
Yeah,
we have to talk about this.
I saw some people tweeting out about it. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, I'm going to give you till Monday. So we'll give you a good Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I've got a lot of time this weekend.
Yeah, good,
so.
Good. Well, this is one of those ones you're going to get through the first episode and you're not going to want to stop. So start around 3 in the afternoon because you're going to be going all night. It is.
Binge watch. Yeah.
It is jaw-dropping. It is unbelievable. It is a level of insanity that even in today's insane times, it is kind of unfathomable. So Tiger King on Netflix, get with it. And we'll talk about it later in the week or next week, I should say. Speaking of streaming habits, Pornhub donating 50,000 masks to New York City to medical professionals.
Where did they get 50,000 masks?
I don't know, man. Porn, you got to be super clean in porn. They're constantly testing. Like, maybe they just had like a stockpile.
That could be, yeah. It's good on them.
Maybe Pornhub knew about what N95 meant, you know,
long before anyone else did.
Exactly. Now N95 is just part of the lexicon. Speaking of Pornhub, thank you for donating, Pornhub. We appreciate it. That's not the only good that Pornhub is doing for America right now. Yes, they're donating medical equipment, but Magnum, you talked about it last week, getting very weird in the adult entertainment industry, kind of venturing out your comfort zones of what you've been known to enjoy functional adult male in America. Well, I have good news for you, sir.
Yes.
Your variety, your chance to explore your ever-changing boundaries, if you will, Magnum.
Yeah.
They just broadened. Pornhub offering free premium access for 1 month on their website. You got very excited with that.
My eyes perked up.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
So and now everyone has a free premium account to Pornhub. Now, what does that get you? I wish I could tell you. I'm just so inexperienced with that. I have no clue.
You're married, I would imagine
4K video, though, access to different premium sites and unlimited download capabilities. But again, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm usually I have my sites, but
Pornhub. How did you make this creepier than it already was?
Well, because it's what we have to have a little fun with it. So, I mean, I don't frequent Pornhub.
I have my sites.
Yeah, I mean, I have a few that I like.
Well, those sites are probably on Pornhub. That's what I'm saying.
They might be, yeah.
Yeah, they have a lot of sponsorships. Again, not that I would know. These are just things that I've heard.
Well, the funniest to me was years and years ago, I went to the convention here when it was, I think it was at the Sands convention.
Man, when you set that up years ago, I went to and I was like, don't say it.
No.
I thought you were going TJ. I thought.
And the funniest thing was Kimbo Slice was promoting for.
Oh, that's right. He used to work with Reality Kings.
Yeah.
Yep. Again, not like I don't. What's reality? I don't.
Yeah. So Kimbo Slice was part of that setup there.
Yeah. Well, back to the sports real quick before we get off the show. We'll talk about this tomorrow. Get off the show, man. Phrasing, Ryan, especially when you transfer from porn. Jesus. One, this from Mike Freeman, NFL writer. One thing to pass along. I'm increasingly hearing from coaches and front office executives that they believe it will be nearly impossible for the season to start on time. Some believing training camp will start in the fall. Oof.
Yeah, that's rough for...
I'm thinking strictly for Vegas. No draft.
Yeah.
Delaying of the opening stadium of Raider Stadium. Like, come on, man. I mean, if it has to happen, it has to happen.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, that would be a major bummer.
It's really tough, yeah.
Plus side, I don't have to watch the Bears suck.
Yeah, but...
And you don't have to watch the Jets suck.
You're going to want that.
Yeah, I probably will. You're right. I'm going to want to be on the radio tomorrow, so I'm going to be. We'll see you then, friends.